Glory to God. Good evening, everyone. Do keep Pastor Scott held up in prayer. He'll be back around in town tomorrow, but do keep him held up in prayer and just for the Lord's strength and refreshing. And we're thankful for his life and his ministry to us as a flock. Father, we come before you tonight, and you've already been in our midst, and we're so thankful for your presence. Even as we come now to open your word, Father, we just want more of you. Lord Jesus, we just need more of your transforming power at work in us. We just want you to be exalted. Your name to be glorified in our lives, in this place, in this community. For you to come and show yourself mighty. And even tonight, Lord, that you would just continue to show yourself mighty. Meet us at our point of need, and we come as we are, and we just say, Lord, I'm coming to you as a needy person tonight. You know all of our needs before we even ask. And you love us as your children, Father. And you don't want any person to leave this place with their need not met, their heart not spoken to, their body not healed, their mind not made to be at peace. Those who need joy restored, Father, I'm asking you to begin to restore that joy. Those who need to be set free and have apathy driven out of their lives, that you would begin that work by your Holy Spirit right now. Father, those who've been wounded, that you begin right now by your Holy Spirit to heal the brokenhearted. Those who are holding grudges and they just are afraid to completely release the grudge, just show yourself mighty. Give them a glimpse of Calvary tonight and the price that you paid to set them free. Father, let them not focus on trying to forgive, but just to embrace how much they're forgiven. Let it be a night of just receiving all from your hand that you freely have blessed us with. Your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. We don't have to work. We now receive and by faith obey. And you'll be exalted and draw all men to yourself. And for that, we'll give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. In John 11, Jesus said to Martha, did I not tell you, you can turn over there, that if you only believed, y'all remember that? Regarding Lazarus, and Jesus shows up a few days late, as it seemed, based on natural time. And he said, didn't I tell you that if you just take a look at it, in verse 40, did I not say to you that if you would only believe, you would see the glory of God? You know, the scripture says we're not ignorant of Satan's tactics or devices. I believe one of those devices is to complicate things and to try to rob from the church the pure simplicity of this gospel. You can, for your notes, I'm not turning there now, but in 2 Corinthians 11, you can put verse 1 through 3. It talks about Paul's concern for the church at Corinth, that their minds would be corrupted by Satan from the simplicity that is in Christ. Just be aware, Satan's tactics to confuse, of course, divide and conquer. But he's always after bringing confusion by causing us to question God or to begin to ask the wrong questions about the wrong things. If you want every question to be put at rest, get in God's presence and get in God's word, and confusion will flee. Confusion cannot hang out where the presence of God is, because where his presence is, there's peace. Amen? Remember, he promised peace that passes all understanding, that you'll have it in the midst of tribulation, and a joy that no one can take from you, no matter what kind of persecution or trial or adversity you're passing through. Joy unspeakable, a joy no one can take from you, and a promised peace. So tonight, That's what should be in our lives. Amen. Peace that passes understanding. And even if we're going through a time of anguish or trial, weeping may endure for a night. Chastening even is grievous for the moment, right? But there's coming the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So even during chastening, we don't lose the hope, the favorable expectation of what God promised. Weeping may endure for a night, the psalmist said, but what's coming in the morning? Joy's coming in the morning, right? In John 6, talking about simplicity here, he said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, they were asking in verse 28, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him. Amen. Just that simple, that you believe in him whom he has sent. You say, what do you mean? I believe in him. Yeah, believe. Believe in him means your heart's so persuaded that you can't help but obey what he said. That means whatever he says, you do it. Kind of like Mary said, whatever he tells you to do regarding changing the water to wine, whatever he tells you to do, just what? Just do it. And that's simplicity. And that's a place in a believer's life where Satan cannot take advantage of us or bring confusion or that doubt that causes what James called a double-minded man who's unstable in how many? And let not that man who's double-minded think in that condition that he's going to receive what? Anything. So what do? You pull it down, right? Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Doesn't mean he's forsaken you. Doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. It just says you're double-minded and you're going to be tossed like the wind of the sea. You're going to be tossed around. So what do with that doubt we heard this morning? You pull it down and you say that that doubt does not agree with who God's revealed himself to be in his word. What made Abraham that vessel? I mean, there's so many things we could say God chose him because he knew that Abraham would teach his children, right? And his children's children. But what made Abraham that man was just being convinced to such an extent that after 13 or if the records are right, after a lot of years of waiting for the promised child, his heir, God says, I want you now to offer him up to me. And Abraham believed God. And it says, and early in the morning, there wasn't a delay. It means he believed and accepted that word when he heard it. And then he made haste in the morning. It says he prepared and he took his son to offer him up to the Lord, believing that God would raise him up. You talk about faith. Take your only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him up to me. He gives, he takes away, he didn't take. But in Abraham's heart, he made a decision, whatever God says. The safest place to be in this hour is in that place of childlike faith. It's a childlike faith that believes that what God said, he means it. If God said it and his word is sure, right, to 1,000 generations in heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not pass away. But if his word is not dwelling in us richly, then though it's that sure of a word, if it's not dwelling in us richly, if we're not hiding it in our hearts, if we're not taking time to let it wash us and build us up like it says in Book of Acts, where he said, I commend you to God in the Book of Acts when he's talking to the elders of Ephesus. And he says, I commend you to God and to the word. Do you remember what it says? And to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Commend you to God and to the word of his grace. So we rest in God, but God's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he says, you got to hide my word in your heart. Your body has needs. So does your spirit. And man doesn't live by bread alone. We make time to exercise. We make time to eat. Nothing wrong with it. Those are needs. We have to make time to be in God's presence. If you don't make time for God, Satan will distract you and cause your life to be dictated to by circumstances. And I could go down a lot of different paths, from the cares of the world, distractions, lusts, running to and fro, just me time, extra me time, working hard to get more me time. Just remember, as great a man as David was, when he just sat back and he said, I think I owe myself some me time. It's not that there's not time for refreshing. It's not that we don't richly enjoy the things God's blessed us with. That's not the point. But it says at the time that kings go out to battle, where was David? At the time to be at war, what was he doing? He felt he was owed. He felt he had the right in this position. And he took time. And in that time, and I can't say that the Bible says he was in apathy, but there was something in him that decided, I would rather, instead of be out in battle with the men, I'd rather just be here looking after myself for some reason. And he just happened to see a lady across the way. Isn't that frequently how it happens? It's not easy for Satan to just come and say, hey, I'm here, I'm Satan, you know. And he growls at you and he tells you he's the devil and he goes, let's sit down and powwow. And you're like, all right, we're going to have coffee with the devil. But if he could just come like an angel of light and just say, look, you know, you've been faithful. You've been working hard for the Lord. You deserve a break today. God's been using you. Overindulge in this and do a little bit of that. And it's okay to gossip a little over here and start becoming critical over there. And yeah, this one time that you blew your wife off and were rude and hurt her, how many other times have you humbled yourself? Don't humble yourself this time. You don't have to do it every time. Whatever it is. He just looks for a wedge. And the Bible says, give him no what? Give no place to the enemy, but submit to God and resist him. Amen? Submit to God. And that sensitivity we heard about in the morning session, the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is the ground of our hearts. Just having that cultivate in the relationship with Jesus and spending time. See, this word is one of God's anvils that kind of, it's like a hammer, it says, that deals with hardness. It's a cleansing, it's a washing agent. It says in Ephesians, we're washed by the water of his word. John 15 says you're clean through the word. So you get into the word and it begins to now cause you to look at stray thoughts and desires and lusts and things in us that are not right in God's sight, or misplaced timing. It could be something that's not bad or immoral in itself, but the Holy Spirit now begins to bring in check all that our natural man wants. I want to finish this class now in my life. I want to do this. There are so many things we want and we plan, but a lot of times we've not let it be something that is okay with the Lord, where you know you've maybe taken counsel from God and you've looked at where you're at in your life, and it might not even be a bad thing in your life, but it's just slowly being used by the enemy to run you down so he can take you out. He's looking to take you out. And Jesus wants you to finish the race. Can you say praise God that he's ever living to make intercession for you? He's praying for us that our faith wouldn't fail. He's given us everything that we need to be victorious. He's given us power over the enemy, and we crush him, it says in Romans 16, beneath our feet with speed, but also the ability to recognize and be aware of his tactics and his lies and be able to pull them down, just like when he came to Eve. You won't surely die. He just lied against what God had just told her. God knows that in the day that you eat of this fruit that looks good to you, it doesn't just look good. You should try it. God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be able to be a God to yourself. You won't need to depend on God. You'll know for yourself. In other words, God is really holding something back from you. With all that God had given him except that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What did Satan focus on? try to get them to focus on. Just the one thing that God forbade. That's what Satan will do. We have so much he'll try to do. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to appreciate in other people. We have so much to appreciate in our spouses and other friends and brethren in the body. And what will Satan try to get you to do to bring a wedge of strife? He'll try to get you to become critical of one thing in their life that hadn't yet changed. And get you to have an evil eye and disposition toward that person, even toward the Lord. So much to be thankful for, and then Satan will come and attack and try to muddy the waters and make you think that nothing good's happening in your life and you need to take matters into your own hand. This waiting on God, he hasn't come through for you. And the attacks of the enemy, like it says in Psalm 3, many are they who say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Satan's attacks. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, what does the Lord promise? Isaiah said he lifts up a standard against them and no weapon formed against us will prosper. But that doesn't mean there's not war, right? This is the work of God, verse 29. We're talking about simplicity. We're talking about letting God be God. That he who comes to God, as we heard this morning, he who comes to God must believe that he is. That he is who he said he is. And faith comes by spending time with Father. Spending time in his presence. In Romans 4, it says that when God spoke to Abraham, it says he spoke to him, and it says, and Abraham believed. And as he heard, it says, in the presence of him whom he believed, the word came, the rhema came, and he was in the presence of God, and he was able to hear it and receive it. And then he believed, and then he didn't see manifestation. But he believed, and at times he doubted. But Romans says he didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. He wasn't unpersuaded. At times he doubted. At times he got weary in well-doing. At times he got doubtful and thought, maybe that's not exactly what God meant. At times he doubted, but he didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. That tells me that he kept holding on to what God spoke. He ended up pulling it down and going, God's faithful. God's word is true. This isn't manifested yet, but I know what God spoke. I know his promise is sure because I know God. And he's not a man that he should lie. And he didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in what? Faith. And it says giving. Do you remember what it says? Strong in faith, giving what? Glory to God. We have to stay in faith. We have to continue to believe to glorify God. He's glorified. Didn't I tell you, Jesus said, that if you only believed, you'd see the glory of God. God is going to manifest. We don't even have to try to convince him to. Just something that he put on my heart this evening. He just said, you want more miracles? You just need more of my presence. I'm a miracle working God. Miracles happen where I come. When I show up, miracles happen. We don't look for the sign. We're not miracle seekers. It's part of our walk. It's part of walking with Father. It's part of who we are. It's who he is and he's in us. It's not just miracles to raise the dead. We need those. It's the miraculous wisdom he drops in your spirit when you're about to get enraged at someone and say something foolish, and the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit restrains you and says, stop right here. Maybe something you were going to say, or somewhere you were going to go, or like we heard about Smith Wigglesworth, he spoke and yelled into that peephole and someone's life was spared, and it was confirmed later. How powerful was it when Paul was encountered by the Lord and knocked off of his beast, and Ananias heard a voice clearly saying, go get up and go pray for my servant. Just want to be at that place. Part of, we're talking about the miraculous, just the supernatural. You want to see the miraculous? It's about walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. That's where the miraculous is. It's in the eternal realm. It's in the invisible realm. And the manifestation of the miracle is based on what you're believing in the invisible. Believing that he is. Manifestation or not, I'm believing that he is. Because we're not the evil generation who seeks after signs. But these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall. Amen. So expect. Believe and expect God. Expect God to do what he promised. Don't hope that he will. Expect him to. Don't be afraid that he won't. Be afraid to not trust him and not give him an opportunity to fulfill what he promised. Don't be afraid of failure. Be afraid of disobedience. Right? That's one of the greatest hindrances and a part of doubting, and at times it can become unbelief. And it doesn't mean that when we battle fear, we're in unbelief, or if doubt comes in, that we're in unbelief. But like we heard this morning, if you don't pull doubt down, that's where it can go. The fear of looking bad, or the fear of God not coming through, or if I say something's going to happen in faith and it doesn't happen, how will I look? Don't worry about it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The greatest miracle is a changed life. There's people who move in miraculous signs and wonders, and their lives don't stand before the fire of God and make it. But that doesn't mean we don't want the power of God. Amen. The power of a changed life. And the same power to change your life, that same power to change your life is the same power to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils, to heal, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, to drink any deadly thing and it will not harm me. It's not a different power. It's the same power. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, right? Think about that. The spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And then you think of the other part in that same chapter. He who didn't spare his own son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? You don't have to try to convince God or pray up your faith to get God to do what he wants to do and is doing. Even if you're not seeing it in your life, that's what he's doing in the earth. You don't have to try to get him to do what he has done. You see, what we're trying to get him to do has already been finished in his heart and at the cross. By his stripes you were healed, spirit, soul, and body. Do you believe that? Do you remember when Jesus asked the one guy who came to him, he says, do you believe, the blind guy, do you believe I'm able to do this? He said, yeah, Lord, I believe. He said, then according to your faith, be it unto you. He'll show you great and mighty things. He's just looking for trust. He's just looking for childlike faith. The greatest expression of believing God is just acting on what he said. Well, do I have to hear a voice from the Holy Spirit? See, Pastor Ron, sometimes I'm not sure. Do I have to hear the Holy Spirit telling me, or can I just kind of take what the Holy Spirit said in his word and go and act? Is it one of those or is it the other? And it's like, you can't go wrong either way. If you're acting on the word of God, you can't go wrong. If it's in the word and you're going out to do it, you can't go wrong. You say, well, do you think I could just kind of go to every single person I see that was like a Gate Beautiful and every single person I see is going to rise up and walk? It's possible. I don't see it happening that way in scripture. But if that's where your faith is and you won't go pray for every crippled person, I don't think God's going to rebuke you for it. Now, if you're running around trying to pray for every crippled person and you don't love your wife and give time to your kids and edify the body and you're into yourself and you start a me, me, me international ministry, the Lord might have something to say to you if you start getting caught up in yourself. Because that's what we heard this morning, unbelief is. It's not just about performing miracles. It's not being obedient in the basic areas that Father's laid before us as believers, as disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ who have become new creations and are still being conformed into his image as we're being sanctified and prepared for his soon coming. Simplicity, man. Simplicity. We can turn over to Matthew 17. We don't go down, you know, sometimes Satan will try to get you to go down bunny trails just to distract you. What about this? Or this is interesting. And I'm not saying it's from time to time, if you have free time and you want to follow bunny trails and, I mean, scriptural stuff, stuff in Revelation, other, I'm not saying that that's sin or wrong. I'm just saying, how much time do you really have to do that when you just really need time to be built up in His presence, spending time worshiping Him? I'm just saying you'll be more edified and more able to please Him and represent Him by not going down too many bunny trails and focusing on what you do know and what is clear. And the people who I've run into over the years, and it's been a while, who say, well, when I get there, I'm going to ask. When you get there, you're not going to ask anything, man. You're not going to ask anything. You're just going to be in awe. Doesn't take a whole lot of reading. You could just hang out in Revelation 4 or so many other chapters. You could just get caught up in Revelation 4 and just hear about all that worship in the presence of God and at the throne of God and with the elders and our crowns being cast at His feet, just consumed with the glory and presence of God. And a great visitation. Here's a miraculous thing. Jesus was transfigured in verse 2. And His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. And Peter answered and said to him, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Peter was normally the first guy to talk. But he's also, a lot of times, the first guy to get out of the boat. He did open mouth and insert foot, but he also was a man who knew how to repent. And he knew how to get back up and let God finish what He started. Can you say amen? It wasn't that many days after he denied the Lord 3 times and was humbled by that and wept bitterly as the Lord looked at him. He wept bitterly and was humbled by his own prideful self-assurance and vehement assurance of himself. And it wasn't that many days later that he realized everything he thought he was and what he was so sure of crumbled. But what did Jesus say after His resurrection? Go tell the disciples. And what's your name? You can put your name right in there. They say, well, you don't know how bad I've messed up. No, nope, I know how bad I've messed up. And if we're in competition with each other, I guarantee you I'm the chief of sinners. You're like, okay, you win. No, don't let me win that quick. You gotta give me some competition, man. You're supposed to see it the other way around. Right? Because I have the beam. And you're like, yeah, you really do. No, you have the beam. But you're supposed to see it that way. And just because of time, they come down from the mountain. Verse 14. And a man came to him, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic. That's the New King James. And suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. You just got to remember, whenever there's a need for what seems to be beyond you, it's not about you. We're not the source. The excellency of the power is of God, not of us. But we do have this treasure of God's glory and power at work in us. It's been entrusted to us. We are containers of that power. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. The power is there. But you don't have to worry. I know you might not think, but you don't have to worry about having faith in your faith. It's the faith of the Son of God. It's the faith in the Son of God and the faith of the Son of God. When you stand like Peter and John and you look at people under the unction of the Holy Spirit and you say, look on us, as they're expecting something physical, something that the guy was expecting to get something physical, natural from them. And he said, look on us. And he's looking at them. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, What do you have? You got to know what you have. You got to know what your rights are. You got to know what's been entrusted to you. You got to know what His promises are to you. You got to spend time bathing and soaking your spirit and your soul in His presence, in His Word, and refreshing yourself on who you are in Him and who He said He is and what He has promised. And you keep it alive. See, some of it, we need more life. We got the knowledge. But the communion is what gives unction to that knowledge. We need unction. We need anointing. We don't just need knowledge. We need visitation. We need the anointing of God. And anointing comes from spending time in the presence of God. What makes the words that you speak, well, the Word of God is alive and powerful, yes. It's sharper, yes. But He also loves to use a vessel of honor fit for His use. What makes it more real is that it's more real to you. God can use you even when you're not at the best place. God can use you even if you're at a time of weakness or something that's still not changing your life. I don't minimize it. His Word will work and the recipient's faith and God's mercy and His compassion for souls. The power of God will work. But you can't take away from, I can't help but speak, the things that I've seen and heard. And not just from yesteryear and yesterday, but what's alive and fresh right now. Kind of when you draw from that principle in the book of Exodus where the manna, and He just gave them enough for that day. Give us this day our daily bread. No, it's not about works. It's about relationship. It's just wanting to be where He is. And then you give it out. And what do? Jesus ministered all day. And what did He do at night? He hung out with Father. He got refilled, refreshed. He got the mind of God. I can't say what you have to do. I can't tell you what you have to give up. I can just tell you this is what He wants you to do. This is what He expects from us. It might be less of something. You got to look and go, what is it in my life that's keeping me from having a better, more quality relationship with Him? What is it that hinders me from being washed more purely and more available for His kingdom to edify the body, to reach lost souls, to disciple those, to pray for people to get filled with the Holy Spirit, to continue to move in the ministry of the gospel of the kingdom? Keep your finger here for just a moment as we're getting ready to look. And just look at Matthew 4, if you would. Great phrase, the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus said that the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation, but it's where? It's among you and it's in you. And the kingdom of God is not in word only, but also what? In power. And in Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And I believe we're at a time, beloved, where we need the demonstration. We need the manifestation of God's power and God's glory. And it just begins by letting Him change us. That's what we've been predestined for, to be conformed to His image. Just keep letting Jesus become more real in your life. Just keep becoming more intimate with Him. Just continue to worship and let Him be, acknowledge Him. Let Him become big, bigger than you've known Him to be. You can't make Him any bigger than He is. He's God, but He becomes bigger to you. He's bigger in your eyes. You exalt Him. You magnify Him. You extol the Lord. You bless the Lord. You say with the psalmist, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, because He's Jehovah Rapha, because Jesus is a healer. We don't have to try to convince Him. He is. All we have to do is believe and obey. All we have to do is get out of the boat. Just put yourself in a position. Give God an opportunity to use you to show Himself mighty through you. Just step out. How am I going to know if somebody's hurting and has a need? If you encounter people, if you just go and reach people, you'll find they have needs. Even if they look like they're together, there's something that they need if they don't know Jesus. And it's Him that they need. And he might just use you to speak something in their life that they would marvel that how could you even be speaking about something they're going through and you don't even know the person. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. And it becomes a sign to them. This is different. How did you know? That's exactly what how many times did the Holy Spirit use us and we begin speaking and addressing someone's life and all of a sudden they thought they weren't interested in quote religion and all of a sudden they're arrested right where they are like the woman at the well. Because we are walking in the Spirit and just saying, Lord, I'm going out in obedience, but give me a heart of compassion. You don't have to feel the compassion to go out. You go out in obedience and he gives you that heart for the people. And a lot of times as you encounter their lives, you become broken as you see their condition. You're refreshed and reminded again, they're bound. They're lost. Satan's real. But we got to get out of the boat. The time is short. The night's coming when no man can work. The harvest is plenteous, right? The laborers are few. And what is our response? Lord, here am I. Right? Can you say that? Lord, here am I. Make me a vessel of honor. Don't let Satan complicate things for you and cause you to look at yourself and talk yourself out of why you can't be that mighty vessel of God. Why, that's not your calling. It's not your personality. From the least to the greatest, he's no respecter of persons. He's just looking for an available person. You don't have to be biblically astute. You don't have to be theological. You don't have to know a bunch of the Bible. You don't have to be a preacher. You just have to step out of the boat and go tell somebody about Jesus and watch them move. The power that's in that name. The power just in the fact that your life has been changed and you can tell them what he's done in you. And then you can tell them about John 3:16. You can tell them he's coming back soon. You can tell them we're all going to give an account because it's appointed for man once to die. And we're all going to stand and give an account. And in that day when we stand there, it's not going to be our good works outweighing the bad ones. It's going to be he provided Jesus who died on the cross and rose again to be our Lord and Savior. And whether you believe on him and accept him or reject him is going to determine where you spend eternity. Just that simple. And you're going to live forever. And then it says in Book of Acts, when they saw the boldness and the authority, you know, they saw like it when they, and at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it says they never heard a man speak with that kind of authority. In the Book of Acts, it says when they saw the boldness, because I mean, these guys are being threatened and they're just, they had conviction, man. They couldn't be silenced. They were threatened with prison. They were beaten. And they couldn't be silenced. What they had heard in the ear and at the ear and at the heart from the heart of Jesus, they were shouting from the housetops. They couldn't be silenced. Just imagine the reputation that they had. Those that have turned the world upside down have come here also. And one of the accusations against them in Acts 5 is, and you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Praise God, man. Busy about the master's business. Got to take time to refill, like Mary, but you got to get up and go tell somebody. If you get refilled, you're not going to be comfortable not telling someone. It might even be ministry to somebody here. You know what I found? There's a lot of people who've been born again who are in great need of edification. There's a lot of born again people who are very ignorant of God's word and God's promises and their rights as believers. To have victory over sin, to have victory over Satan, to have victory over sickness and disease. I've met people who can tell you about redemption better than you and I can explain it. And their lives are lives of defeat. They can even go and present the gospel to someone else and tell them how to get saved, but they're defeated at home. They're defeated in raising their kids. They're defeated in their marriages. They're defeated in combating their own pride. They're defeated. Their lives are defeated, but they have knowledge. But we are not of those who draw back. Amen. That's not who we are. That's not who you are as a people. We are not of those who draw back to perdition. I'm not saying that those people are. But I'd say more than ignorance, I would say it's more what Hosea says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they've what? Rejected knowledge. I do believe there's ignorance, but I also believe there's, like we heard this morning, there's unbelief. We hear, and then we take it under advisement, and we shelf it. And we want to pick and choose. But I was just talking about that heart for our brethren in the body of Christ that we come across, or people who think they are, or believe they are. Maybe they have a form of godliness. And what do? You just show a care. You just show a kindness. You show an interest in their lives. Somebody tells me they're born again. I'm like, really? How do you know you are? I don't approach it that way. I'm not saying you do. But that's exciting. When did you get saved? So I just want to hear. And then it doesn't take long if you just ask a couple questions and show an interest to see where they're at, man. And then the Lord begins to move and give opportunity frequently. You know, sometimes they got to get down the road. Make yourself available. Sometimes someone will give me a short time. I'll say, if you want to reach me again, here's how I can be reached. Here's where our services are. And if you want to reach me, here's a contact where you can get a hold of me if you want to talk about it more. And telling people about being filled with the Holy Spirit. But can I tell you something? If you've been filled, you might need to be refilled. When you got filled, you got the prayer language. But you and I have to use the prayer language to be edified. Are you using it? Or do you need to be refilled? Do you need to be stirred again in it? Stirred again. Stir up the gift. You know, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a boldness that's beyond even being born again, born of the Spirit. There's a boldness that comes. Is the boldness there? If the boldness is not there, then you need to be refilled. Because what the boldness does is it transcends your fear of men's faces. It transcends the fear of what they can do to harm you physically. Or their threats, Satan's threats, man's threats. It says when they saw the boldness by which they spoke, they took note of these men. They realized that these guys were like they had been with. They reminded them when they saw their boldness, it reminded them of Jesus. See, boldness is not arrogance. It's just no apologies for the truth of God. There's nothing else that can set them free, right? There's nothing else that can set you and I free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. And how much bondage are we surrounded by at work and in our neighborhoods? How much satanic captivity and bondage is there in people's lives? But can I tell you something? You got to deal with the bondage in your life first. God wants to break the bondage. Any captivity, anything you're held by or under the power of other than our Lord Jesus Christ, He wants to free you, praise God. He loves you. He cares. It's not just letting Satan, it could be an area you haven't been freed from and it's been a while. You can't just sit there and let Satan tell you you're not going to be free. You're not going to be changed. This is how you are. This is who you are. You've tried to change. It doesn't work for you. You can't give in to that. I've tried to be an intercessor. It doesn't work for me. I've tried to get more quality time with the Lord. Pastor, my mind goes everywhere and it just seems like I can only listen to audio, the Bible on audio. I'm not buying that, beloved. You press through. You ask God for help. You tell Him, I'm messed up in this area. I need help in this area. Satan will tell you, you're not going to get free from this area, this besetting sin. You're not going to get free. You just declare that you're free even though you're bound. You don't deny that where you are. But you declare what God promised. God is in your life calling the things that are not as though they are. And confession is saying about it what God says. It's not lying. That's some of the ultra faith stuff where you deny what's there. I don't deny what's here. I just say, here's what God promised and here's what I believe. It has no right because here's what Jesus provided. Here's what His promises say about it. Believe that He is. Matthew 4. Look at this phrase in verse 23. Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel, what? The gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Look at Matthew 9. Same phrase, gospel of the kingdom. And at the same time, it's associated with the demonstration of God's healing power. In verse 35, he went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Look, and he was, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. We've been stirred and encouraged for a couple of good years now, at least, about compassion. And I just want to encourage you and bring it to your remembrance again. It's just been a true word for us from the Lord, that that compassion that weeps for the lost in intercession, the compassion to go out and as you pray for them and weep in your heart over their condition, as you intercede for open doors, as you pull down satanic strongholds and you set your heart to go out and ask for open doors and you ask God to use you and bring you into contact with those specifically that he wants you to reach. Because it's go preach the gospel in general, but then there's people he wants to bring you into contact with specifically, like the woman at the well, for example. There's the generic proclamation to every creature, but Lord, who are, bring me to those people that you want me to reach. And being available. And while you're in the way, don't be so caught up in just grabbing what you want from Giant and Rolling. There could be times you need to get in and out, but I get it. I get it. But sometimes you just want to go do this and do that. And sometimes you're going to cross someone's path and get that nudge in your heart. Just stop. Just stop. I was, wasn't that long ago, I was so weary this night, and I rolled into Home Depot, and it was right before they closed, and it was a very long day for me, and I was beyond whipped. It was one of those times where I didn't want to be around people whipped, so I'm like, I'm in there, and I'm out. And God didn't really care where I was. He didn't really, I'm walking by this guy, and I didn't even think, if you had asked me, do you think you're at a place right now where if God nudged you, you'd hear it? I'd be like, probably not. And I'm walking by this guy, and I'm like, hey, how are you? And he's like, he was more friendly. I'm normally pretty friendly. He's friendlier than I was. He's like, pretty good. How are you doing? And I'm like, fine, thanks. And I kept going, and that nudge. And I'm like, I got three things. They're closing, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, okay, Lord, sorry. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing? And then it started, and the guy turned out to be a preacher's kid, backslidden, atheist. I've been through that, just judging God, just scary condition. On the surface, it didn't seem like it was very fruitful, but it was very fruitful. I took him back to his roots. I took him back to the cross. I took him back to God's plan. I took him back to God's love. And like, I'd make a comment and he'd be like, oh really? And he'd act like he was on the show. He was so attentive and friendly, but when I mentioned Jesus and was looking at his condition, he was trying to blow me off at every single turn. And every comment I made, he was trying to blow me off. And I said, hey look, I can see that you kind of want to go and I'm not going to hold you, but I really believe the Lord wanted me to stop and say something to you. And now I see where you're at and I can see why he had me encounter you. Let me just share with you a little bit about his love, his plan. I can't make you. I'm not going to try to force you, but just hear what I believe God's wanting you to hear right now. I dropped it on him and I rolled. And then just from there, I went into prayer. Father, open his eyes, touch him. Because the Holy Spirit's at work even when we're gone. And I know you have so many testimonies yourself, and just consider the compassion, the night coming, the phrase here, he was moved. I want the compassion of Jesus for people. I want the compassion of Jesus for people in my household, people in this body. I don't want to just have all of that heart for unbelievers and not have the same heart for home, right? For my spouse. For my brethren, we can get so pumped to need the power of the Holy Spirit to reach someone we never met and then take for granted somebody right there in front of us. But that's not the point tonight. We need this compassion for the lost, for the needy, for the weak in the church, for the religious. To not look at Muslims or in general, any category of any people and just see them, those are those people who blow people up and hate our country and Can you have compassion for them? They're just as in need of Jesus as anybody else. And there's some people that just kind of, we're just more indifferent to or more jaded toward. If you see any of that in your life, ask God to forgive you and change you. It's not His heart. Amen? Anything prejudicial, or maybe even ask God and make a choice to go out of your way and reach one of those people that crosses you that way, just to deal with yourself and encounter God's grace to overcome you. I don't want to start naming nationalities and types of religion because I might offend somebody, but just go to somebody who you would just not want to be around in the natural. Because we'll say, well, in the natural, but sometimes there's too much of the natural there. Because we'll say it like it's so removed from our lives, you know, in the natural. But if you keep saying that stuff, there's a whole lot of natural in there. I'm not saying it's a formula of doing that that fixes your heart. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying give God opportunity to take you beyond your own comfort zone. He was moved when he saw them move with compassion for them and saw them as sheep without a shepherd and said, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I know this is very simple, but I believe it's time to pray this again. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. And God's been using us. And God's been moving in our midst. And God's been performing miracles in our midst. And there's others we're still believing Him for. But I'm not going to let Satan complicate things for me and start asking questions instead of the environment of faith. And the environment of faith is faith works by love. And it's not just loving one another. Faith works by love. If you want to see faith at work, keep loving God with all your heart. Keep worshiping God. Keep seeking God. Keep boasting on the goodness of God. No matter what you're passing through and difficulties and challenges, you might need your hands lifted up. You might need encouragement. You might be battling oppression, but you still declare, let God be true. His word is sure. All I know is God is faithful. All I know is God is good. All I know is God is merciful. I don't know. I don't have the answer to everything. But here's what I do know. Once I was blind, but now I see. They were asking that guy who got healed, you know, and the disciples were asking, who sinned, this guy or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus is like, neither one. But that the works of God might be manifest, that God would be glorified. And then the guy gets healed, and they're like, who is it? They're asking him all these questions. He's like, I don't know, but all I know is I was blind, and now I've been healed. It's not complicated. You don't have to sit there and accept oppression and think you're just a victim. You don't have to just sit there and accept depression and just think you can't do anything. This is a genetic thing that I've inherited. And it might be a genetic thing that you are battling with, but you don't have to sit and lay under it. You can make a choice to hope in God, to praise Him, to just begin to give thanks and give God the praise that He deserves and the glory and the honor of His name. And we humble ourselves before His majesty and begin to just, Lord, help me to decrease that You might increase. Help me to become nothing so You can become everything. That's what the truth is. What we are by the grace of God. Amen. And then He says, okay, you're an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Who are we that God would look so favorably upon us? What is man, it says in Psalm 8, that You're so mindful of him and the Son of Man that You visit him? But the gospel of the kingdom, we need the power of God, and it's in His presence. It comes from just being with Him. Power belongs to God, and He's given this power in the person of the Holy Spirit to the church. I just believe it's a true time, and we've been hearing it in the panel, and it came up in the men's breakfast. This is an hour to expect God to show Himself mighty. I believe we need to, in our own personal lives, in our corporate meetings, I just believe we need to be asking God about our expectation. And I really believe that spirit of hope and expectation and faith and who God is and what God promised, I believe that really will help us also overcome just apathy, sometimes just showing up to be here. It's good that you're here in obedience. God will meet you where you are. I'm not trying to condemn you, but also just coming with that expectation Not observation of what might happen, just coming as a participant. You're coming here to worship. You're taking serious that time of prayer that we dedicate before service. You're setting your heart on the glory and visitation of God, the presence of God. God showing himself mighty. And all of a sudden, somebody just breaks forth. Somebody who couldn't walk starts walking, skipping around this place just like you see in the book of Acts. Somebody all of a sudden who has a broken bone, all of a sudden you hear, and it just goes back in the formation because of the presence and visitation of God. God's glory and presence so mighty. You see in the old covenant, they couldn't even stand, the priests couldn't even stand and minister. Why not? Why wouldn't God want to display his majesty that way? Why wouldn't God want to so manifest himself that we're just humbled and smitten and broken before his presence and our hearts dealt with and stirred and the bondages broken and the areas of secret sin addressed and deliverance comes in, refreshing comes in, revival comes in, the backslider comes home, the marriage that's out of order gets put into place, the person who's been wanting to be filled gets filled. The person who hasn't been cured gets cured. The cancer's driven out. That's what happens in his presence. It's not a doctrine for each one of those areas. It's a visitation of God. Jesus is exalted. Jesus manifests. That stuff just begins to happen. Because we got the doctrine. We believe all that. We believe in the gifts. The working of miracles, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, all of them. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you'd see the glory of God? Just letting God be God. Just taking him at his word. There are so many other verses I was going to turn to, and they're verses that you already know. And just letting God, let God be God in your life. Well, I don't want to limit him. No, we don't want to. But just step back and say, Father, help me to not limit you. Just give me another, just touch me again. Just refresh me again. Well, I don't know what you need. Revive me. Free me from this apathy. This lust has been, and it could be lust in different areas, not just sexual. Lust in different areas. That lust of the flesh. And you want to get back to that spirit-controlled life where we walk in the spirit and we don't fulfill. We're not under the power of the lust of the flesh. Get your victory back. It's in Jesus. It's at the cross. He's there for you as a faithful high priest. He's ready to meet you with whatever you need, whatever, wherever you're failing, wherever you're falling, wherever you've grieved them, wherever you've disappointed them, wherever you've rebelled, wherever you've disobeyed. You can get back up and get freed again and forgiven again and changed again. That's the kind of God that we serve. Amen. A God who's ready to forgive, transform, restore, and forgive again and still work in you. He's not done. Satan's trying to tell some of you, you're not going to make it. You're going to be one of the casualties. Just pull it down. You don't have to be. God's got a plan for you. He's not done. He'll yet perfect what concerns me. Psalm 138. Unto him who's able to keep you from falling, if you only believe, you'll see the glory of God. That we're kept, Peter says, by the power of God through faith. Kept by his power. Don't trust in yourself. Don't make the mistake of trusting in your faith. Your faith is important, but you have faith because of his faith in you. At the time you got saved, grace, faith, and salvation are all the gift of God, and it's not of works. But you got to let God work in you, both to will and to do. And he wants your will to be subordinate to his. And your life in submission to him. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And don't call me Lord and then go do what you want. And then say I'm your Lord and then you do what you... If I'm your Lord, then I dictate. I call the shots. And if you know him and you know his love, you're good with that. You're at rest. You know that's the safest place to be. Is in submission to Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence. We just take a moment right now, Father, and we just begin to worship and exalt you for who you are. We're very thankful for all you've done. But we're especially thankful for who you are. And you're worthy of praise. And Father, help the environment of our hearts to be an environment of unity with you and with one another. Father, free us from any of the strife or anything that would be judgmental or that's not in accordance with your love, because you said faith works by love. And you said love believes all things. Love believes. You said your love believes all things. It hopes all things. It bears all things. It endures all things. You said your love never fails. Now, Father, help us to rest in that love tonight. Touch us tonight and refresh us in the revelation that we're accepted in the Beloved, that we're complete in Jesus Christ, and that there's not anything we can do to make you love us any more than you loved us while we were sinners. You loved us. And how much more now that we've been pronounced righteousness, that we've been made the righteousness of God through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to see tonight our acceptance in the Beloved, that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to, by the grace of God, embrace this cup and understand that in this walk there's affliction, there's persecution, there's suffering, there's the trying of our faith, but in all these things, your grace is sufficient. And we're more than conquerors, and we can do all things through Christ. And help us to now pull down the anxious thoughts, the anxiety about the things that have not manifested, the anxiety and the confusion and the questions, and wanting our minds to be answered to and looking for answers instead of looking for your glory and presence. Help us to not fall into looking for the sign and focusing on the manifestation, but worshiping you for who you are. And you said you will, as we take you at your word, you will watch over your word and you'll confirm it. And it will not return void. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall. And it says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming his word with signs following. Jesus, we want to be able to tell people that you're raised from the dead. And you had your life confirmed by miracles, signs, and wonders. And you were the very Son of God, Son of Man, and deity and human flesh. It said that these miracles attested that you were raised from the dead. We're asking you to display your glory. Let people marvel at your majesty. We ask you to we thank you for what you have been doing, and we're asking you to show yourself mighty. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Turn to somebody and say, I believe there's more that he wants to do.